The first lesson this morning is from the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, reading from Micah, the sixth chapter. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear your mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I worried you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt, redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, Miriam. O my people, remember how the king of Moab devised what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal. You may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself to God on high? Shall I come before you with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He was told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? The psalm this morning is Psalm 15. We will read this together.
O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart. Who do not slander with their tongue, and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors. In those eyes the wicked are despised, but who are those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath, even to their truth, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved.
The second lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to some Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce nothing that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life, Christ Jesus, who came to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In order that, as it is written, let the one who boast in the Lord. Amen. And that's the lessons.
The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were born before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I now invite the youth up front. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning. Good morning, Dad.
Good morning.
How are you doing? You're relaxing. Yeah, that looks good. You're the oldest one? Yeah, it looks like you're the oldest one right now. Is that okay? You're going to hold us together. Yeah, you'll do great. You're 3 now? 4? Awesome. Good morning, guys. So I have a question for you. Have you ever had a friend or family member get something really cool, like for Christmas or their birthday or maybe some other time? Yeah?
Yeah.
You got a big one. Yeah, and someone got something really cool, and it's something maybe you really wanted, right? You got a big kid, Mike? That's awesome. So what do you guys call your friends or family members when they get something really awesome that you want? You call them lucky? What else do we call them?
Good friends and good neighbors.
Good friends and good neighbors, yeah. Good friends and good neighbors,
yeah.
Yeah, they're super friendly people. You're going to go see your cousins? That's awesome. Maybe we say they're blessed, right? Because, like, they got this really cool thing that we wanted. But Jesus this morning is telling us that what he values is something different than what we think of when we think of blessed. So Jesus is teaching us that he's with us in the good and bad times. Because this morning when he was talking in the gospel, there's a lot of bad times, but he's with us. And that all people are important to him. Not just people who get really cool things, but everyone is important. Were you going to say something, Ben?
Yes, Christmas, I got really special Paw Patrol bike.
Yeah, you got a Paw Patrol bike. That was really cool, right? So some people might think you're lucky or blessed, right? Did you get something cool too? Yeah.
I got a cookie.
Can you guys pray?
I got a cookie.
You got a cookie? That's awesome. Can you guys pray with me? So can you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for being with us in the good and the bad. Help us share your love. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys can go back to your seats or wherever you're going. Thanks for coming up, guys. I appreciate you. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So this past Sunday, we got to celebrate our 60th anniversary here at Emmanuel. It was a really special time. And I know for me, I heard a lot about Pastor Murr, and I never met him before. So I was wondering, could he live up to these expectations? I've heard just numerous great things about him. But then Sunday, sure enough, after he was done talking, I whispered to Vicar Maria, "That is a tough act to follow." And it's true this morning too. Jesus is just getting done preaching a compelling sermon. And what is left to say for us pastors? How do you follow up the Son of God? It's a tough act to follow. This morning's gospel is centered around the word blessed. And it made me wonder how we use the word blessed in our contemporary times. Because right away I thought of hashtag blessed. Or maybe for those of you who don't know what that means, it looks like a pound sign and then the word blessed. So you're hashtag blessed. So you would post it on social media. Maybe you just had a great latte where they had great art design in it. You'd be hashtag blessed. Or maybe you just got a cool new shirt. You're hashtag blessed. Or you got a cool new car. You're hashtag blessed. But this morning, when Googling the definition of blessed, I looked and it says to be made holy or consecrated. A lot of our social media use of blessed would not usually be what Jesus would say when he's talking about blessed. Today is one of my favorite days of the year. It is Super Bowl Sunday. I think about the teams that are playing. I would say they are blessed. Or the players, they are blessed to be in this game. Or even myself and my family. We've been to big Super Bowl parties with lots of food. We are hashtag blessed. Americans this year will spend an average of $81 a person or $17.2 billion today on food and drink alone. We are blessed. But that is not the blessing that Jesus is talking about this morning. Jesus is at the center of a growing movement, and yet here he is withdrawing from the crowd and into a quiet place to teach his disciples. Jesus is moving to a mountain to talk with his followers. It's a very reminiscent and a reminder of Moses on Mount Sinai. When Moses goes to Mount Sinai, he is bringing down the Ten Commandments. Both the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments can be seen as an impressive set of rules to follow, but instead, they are visions for community wholeness, and they're rooted in God's liberation of the oppressed. One of the Ten Commandments is to not bear false witness against our neighbor. It may seem that God is just being mean. He doesn't want us to lie. But by bearing false witness, it's to make sure that we do not oppress our neighbor or harm our neighbor by telling a lie about them. We are told not to commit adultery, but we can see that as a rule for sexual prudishness. But instead, it is so families live harmonious lives together. God gives us these commandments or rules to follow to ensure the well-being of the community and that those who would typically be marginalized by the world are taken care of in God's communities. When Jesus is talking about who is blessed, how does this compare to what we tell others of what a blessing looks like? We often talk about being blessed by God when God gives us an abundance of something. Maybe when we have lots of money, or last week we could feel blessed that we had lots of people in our pews. Maybe we feel blessed when we have power or things of this world. But how does that compare to what Jesus is saying is the blessed here? So when Jesus is talking about who is blessed, how does that compare to what we tell others of what a blessing looks like? I wonder, how do we fit into this story? For myself, these blessings don't make sense. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But why would I want to mourn? Isn't it something we're supposed to just tough out and get through? My family has never been financially poor or poor in spirit. We have never been reviled or persecuted against. As a commentary this week pointed out, this sermon makes far more sense to the Galilean peasants in first century, to refugees fleeing violence, to hungry children who know the raw ache of an empty stomach, than to those of us who live with more privilege than not. With the persecuted, I think of the vast difference between my seminary experience and others in my cohort. There's 26 of us that are in our group. I have classmates who are persecuted because of the color of their skin, even though mine is not mentioned. Or those classmates who are questioned whether they are capable leaders because of their gender. Well, my own capability is never in doubt because of my gender. Or they're persecuted because of their sexual orientation. Well, mine is never mentioned. I've not known what it means to be poor or persecuted or at the center of a mass or at a center of a war or mass violence like we see in other countries. The audience Jesus is talking to has seen oppressive powers come and go. They've been under constant attack or threat of attack. We are beginning to do our prayers for the nations of the world during the prayers of intercession. And we are beginning with Afghanistan, a country that has and continues to see firsthand violence on their soil. So what does it mean if we are not one of those people in the Beatitudes? Are we not blessed? If we are not the hungry, if we are not the meek, if we are not the poor in spirit, if we are not persecuted, are we not blessed? Jesus does not say you are blessed if you have good health, higher education, or a good degree, if you have a three-bedroom room apartment or house at an affordable mortgage or rent. Do we feel like there's a scarcity of blessings from God? If Jesus is subverting the system by giving these blessings to the poor and marginalized, will there be anything left for the rest of us? If Billy is blessed, does that mean I am not? In the time of this text, they understood blessing as a finite thing, something that would run out. Have we as humans and as people changed? The world we live in feels more like a world of scarcity than a world of abundance. And we want God's blessing on us. What do we do when God's blessings are scarce? What is God calling us to do? In this morning's reading from Micah, we read what God requires from us, which is to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. What if we think differently about this blessing? What does it mean for someone who is persecuted that they are blessed? They have been told they are less and not worthy. Or what about those who are homeless? This is a hard message to hear from Jesus this morning because we like having our ideas and lifestyles confirmed. It is hard and it takes an open mind to hear what Jesus is saying because he is such a small countercultural voice compared to all the voices we hear every day. So how does the voice of Jesus and the voice of God get louder? This is where you'd say, gulp? It's us. Through us. Through evangelism. That's something that Lutherans aren't typically associated with. It's hard to evangelize, or it can be. But it's through us and sharing about God's love for the people around us and the people of the world. So what does God want from us? When thinking about this, we have our own expectations versus God's expectations for us. God is having us focus our orientation towards a God and neighbor. We are looking outward, not inward towards ourselves, as the world teaches us. Jesus is not labeling the strong and mighty as blessed, but the meek, the hungry, the poor as blessed ones. God is turning the world upside down, and God's kingdom is countercultural to the things of this world.